excuses.
No excuses.
No excuses. Look, no excuses.
Right, welcome to No Excuses. This is Fitz and this is No Excuses and it is Wednesday. And let's start with something simple but important. How long does it take you? Ask me how long it takes me to get to work every morning. Ask me how long it takes me to get to work every morning. Fitz, how long does it take you to get to work every morning? How long does it take you to get to work every morning? It takes me about 35 minutes, door to door, door to door. It takes me about 37 minutes, door to door. Ask me how long it takes me. Ask me how long it takes me to make coffee. Ask me how long it takes me to make coffee. How long does it take you to make coffee? How long does it take you to make coffee? It takes me about 6 minutes. It takes me about 6 minutes. Ask me how long it takes me to get home in the evening. Ask me how long it takes me to get home in the evening. How long does it take you to get home in the evening? How long does it take you to get home in the evening? It takes me about 37 minutes, door to door, 37, 38 minutes. Ask me how long it takes me. Ask me how long it takes me to do the radio program. Ask me how long it takes me to do the radio program. How long does it take you to do the radio program? It takes me an hour to do the radio program. It takes me an hour to do the radio program. Ask me how long it takes me to walk from my desk to the studio. Ask me how long it takes me to walk from my desk to the studio. It takes me about 40 seconds. About 30 seconds. It takes me about 30 seconds. It takes me. Now, of course, you also have the general sense of it takes without the pronoun. Ask me how long it takes to fly to Dublin. So in general, without the pronoun, in general. How long does it take to fly to Dublin? It takes about 2.25 hours. It takes about 2.25 hours. It takes about 2 hours and 15 minutes. It takes about 2.25 hours. Ask me how long it takes to drive from Dublin to Cork. Ask me how long it takes to drive from Dublin to Cork. It takes about 2 hours and 40 minutes. It takes about 2 hours and 40 minutes. Ask me how long it takes to fly to London. Ask me how long it takes to fly to London. How long does it take to fly to London? How long does it take to fly to London? It takes about 2 hours and 15 minutes. Maybe depending on which airport you're going to, how much air traffic there is, the weather, but about 2 hours and 15 minutes. Let's do a little bit of as long as. So, for example, I will say, I will do it only if you support me. I will do it only if you support me. And you will say, I will do it as long as you support me. I will do it as long as you support me. So, I will do it only if you support me. I will do it as long as you support me. I will do it as long as you support me. I will go there only if you come with me. I will go there only if you come with me. I will go there as long as you come with me. So only if, as long as. Only if, as long as. I will go there as long as you come with me. He will pay for it only if there is a proper invoice. He will pay for it only if there is a proper invoice. He will pay for it as long as there's a proper invoice. He will pay for it as long as there's a proper invoice. I will write the report only if you promise to sign it. Promise. I will write the report only if you promise to sign it. I will write the report as long as you promise to sign it. I will write the report as long as you promise to sign it. I'll call the meeting only if at least 10 managers attend. I'll call the meeting only if at least 10 managers attend. I'll call the meeting as long as at least 10 managers attend. I'll call the meeting as long as at least 10 managers attend. I'll fly there only if you pay for my accommodation. I'll fly there only if you pay for my accommodation. In American English, it's acceptable to say accommodations. I say accommodation. I'll fly there only if you pay, only if you pay for my accommodation. I'll fly there only if you pay for my accommodation. I'll fly there as long as you pay for my accommodation. I'll fly there as long as you pay for my accommodation. I'll arrange the party only if you promise to stay sober. I'll arrange the party only if you promise to stay sober. I'll arrange the party as long as you promise to stay sober. I'll arrange the party as long as you promise to stay sober. I'll teach the class only if you pay me in advance. In advance. I'll teach the class only if you promise to pay me. Sorry. I'll teach the class only if you pay me in advance. I'll teach the class as long as you pay me in advance. I'll teach the class as long as you pay me in advance. I'll make the offer only if you back it up with technical support. I'll make the offer only if you back it up with technical support. I'll make the offer as long as you back it up with technical support. I'll make the offer as long as you back it up with technical support. Support. So to back it up with technical support. All right. Let's do a bit of practice with direct and indirect objects, pronouns. I'll give you a sentence with pronouns and I'll give you a sentence with proper nouns and common nouns. I want you to change everything to a pronoun. So, for example, I will say, when did Philip give the jewels to Nancy? Jewels. Oh, yes. When did Philip give the jewels to Nancy? You will say, when did he give them to her? When did he give them to her? Now, pronouns. Every language, you need to master pronouns. And they can be confusing. So again, practice. When did Philip give the jewels to Nancy? When did he give them to her? When did he give them to her? When did Michael and Denise show the book to their mother? When did Michael and Denise? Denise is the feminine form of Dennis. When did Michael and Denise show the book to their mother? When did they show it to her? When did they show it to her? When did the woman hand the documents to Nigel? Hand meaning give in hand. When did the woman hand the documents to Nigel? When did she hand them to him? When did she hand them to him? When did the workers deliver the merchandise? Now, merchandise is uncountable. When did the workers deliver the merchandise to the inspector? And in this case, the inspector is a woman. When did they deliver it to her? When did they deliver it to her? When did your uncle sell the car to the Smith family? Be careful with the pronunciation of the surname Smith. We have several teachers in this company, and one, for example, a very good guy, a Welshman in Valencia, and they always call him Andrew S. Smith. Andrew Smith. We also have some teachers with the last name Stewart. A great guy called Ben Stewart, and they call him Ben S. Stewart. So, the Smith family. Very common surname in England especially. When did your uncle sell his car to the Smith family? When did your uncle sell his car to the Smith family? When did your uncle sell it to them? When did your uncle sell it to them? When did Natasha receive the ticket from her cousin? In this case, her cousin is a man. When did Natasha receive the ticket from her cousin? When did she receive it from him? When did she receive it from him? And if you change it to the plural, when did Natasha receive the tickets from her cousins? When did Natasha receive the tickets from her cousins? When did she receive them from them? So it sounds strange, but it's correct. When did she receive them from them? When did the parents take the toy from their daughter? When did the parents take the toy from their daughter? When did they take it from her? When did they take it from her? Now again, in the plural, if you say, when did the parents take the toys? When did the parents take the toys from their daughters? Then you say, when did they take them from them? When did they take them from them? When did you buy the computers from the dealer? When did you buy the computers from the dealer? The dealer in this case is a woman. When did you buy the computers from the dealer? When did you buy them from her? When did you buy them from her? When did the postman... Now, when we say postman, it's an old term, so it could be a man or a woman. But in this case, let's say it's a man. When did the postman give the letters to the woman? When did the postman give the letters to the woman? When did he give them to her? When did he give them to her? One more time. When did he give them to her? All right, let's practice a little bit of vocabulary. This is book number 4, list 20. Book number 4, list 20. Adverso. Adverso. Adverse. The game went ahead despite the adverse weather conditions. The game went ahead despite the adverse weather conditions. Adverso. Al azar. Al azar. At random. At random. Randomness is a key part of the Vaughan style. For example, our typical groups of classes are 4-5 people. For kids, a little bit more. 6-7 people. And a key part of the process is that because everything is verbal, the teacher asks the student a question. If the student doesn't answer in 2 seconds, the teacher goes to another student who answers the question, and then the teacher goes back to the first student to repeat. So the students never know who has to speak next. And this is a key thing in making time go by quickly. In our style of teaching, one of the key elements is that the time flies. The time flies. Tempus fugit, as it is in Latin. Cuenta corriente. Cuenta corriente. Now, American English. Checking account. Checking account. British Irish English. Current account. Current account. Sociedad Anónima. Sociedad Anónima. Corporation. Corporation. You can also use the verb that a company was incorporated. This company, for example, was incorporated on the 1st of February, 1977. Incapacitado. 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 Disabled. But you can also say very commonly, incapacitated. Incapacitated. A la larga. A la larga. Eventually. Eventually. Beneficios sociales de nómina. Beneficios sociales de nómina. Fringe benefits. Fringe benefits. And then, for example, you have the taxation benefit in kind, which is, for example, most typically when you get, when a person has a company car, and of course the tax man wants to get his or her hands on some income, so they call it benefit in kind. So it used to be the case many years ago, you got a company car and you paid no extra tax. Now you get a company car, you pay benefit in kind. In kind means in exchange. Payment in kind is an exchange for something. Excuse me. Supongo que sí. Supongo que sí. You can say, I guess so. I guess so. But you pronounce it, I guess so. Or you can say, I suppose so. I suppose so. Is John going to be here today? I guess so. I guess so. Is it going to snow tomorrow? I guess so. I guess so. Ya era hora. Now be careful of this because the verb tense in English is different. Ya era hora. We use present tense. It's about time. It's about time. He's always late. Ah, there he is. It's about time. Come on, man. Hurry up. Dominio. Dominio. Mastery. Mastery. If you do our master's program, you will gain mastery of the English language. Now, maybe you're out there, maybe you're thinking, okay, he's always talking about the masters. Masters, 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 and they're always putting ads on. Yeah, I am. Because this country has a problem with the English language. Now, that's good. I make a living out of it. So does Rob. So does Alberto Alonso. So does Kyle. So does Vaughan Systems. So we make a living out of this issue. But how do you make it better for yourself? For yourself, you take 5 months of your life. You take the time between the end of February and the end of July, and you solve your English problem. And you don't just do English classes. It's an experience. You have the best teachers I've ever seen in my life. And you might say, I don't believe you. Que no tienes abuela. Yeah, okay, self-praise is no praise. All right, fair enough. But it's not me that says this. It's our students. They come for classes and they spend the time, they spend the money, and they have the most sensational teachers I've ever seen in my life. Absolutely outstanding people. Fed, Haley, Anna, Stephen, Andrea. They are just an incredible team. Alex, just top class people. Layla, Robert, Brenda, brilliant people. And I was talking to a teacher yesterday who was teaching a very, very senior executive at a very key corporate client of ours. And we were talking a little bit about, it was the first day of classes with this company since December of 2021. I called her to see how it was. I said, Monica, how was it? And she said, oh, it was great. And she said, I just love teaching so much. I just love the fact that you can show students how much you care. And this is the key thing of a teacher. And the best teachers I had were tough. They were tough people. They were hard. They were demanding. And I liked them because of that, not despite that. I liked them because of that. They had my best interests at heart. My parents too. My parents were tough and demanding with me when it was necessary, which was fairly frequently. Nacho and I and Rob and Martha were talking the other day about how when you were kids and you went to school, I finished primary school in 1982. And in that year, the law changed in Ireland and corporal punishment was illegal. Corporal punishment, meaning that a parent could hit a child. And when I was at school, they could still do it. Now, I must say, when I was at school, I never saw it abused. Now, of course, did I like getting hit? No. The teachers had bamboo sticks. Short bamboo sticks. And they would call you up to the front of the class and they would give you two or three, we call them slaps, on the open palm of the hand. Right? Now, the worst thing about it was not the pain, it was the humiliation. But did it work? Yes, it did. Yes, it did. When my father was at school in the 1940s, I thought of this at Christmas when I got back to Cork Airport, and I came out of the airport and my sister and my niece were there to greet me. And an old friend of my father, a former work colleague of his called Barry Cogan, was there. And it's funny how your mind works. I saw this man and I hadn't seen him for 20 years, but he looked the same. And as I saw him, I thought of a story that my mother and I had been trying to recall some months before, and it suddenly came to me. So my father was at secondary school in Cork City. This must have been about 1946, 47, 48. And there was a teacher in the school who was a brother, Fraile, un hermano, who was particularly brutal with physical punishment. And he was over the top, too much. And so my father could obviously, as is often the case, could visualize this very clearly. He told us this story a couple of times when we were kids. Somebody would do something wrong in the class, make a mistake, misbehave themselves. And the teacher had a stick, but not a bamboo stick. This was a heavy stick that really hurt. And the teacher, before hitting the kid, would wrap his hand, envolver, in a bandage so that he wouldn't hurt his own hand and he would hurt the kid. But he went too far. And this man, Barry Cogan, his brother was in my father's class in school. And when he was about 16, he was a big man for his, he was a big, strong kid for his age. And these beatings had been going on. And this teacher picked, we would say to pick on, as in he singled out. He focused on this kid more than anyone else. And there's a great expression in English, beware the wrath of a patient man. Wrath is ira, W-R-A-T-H, the grapes of wrath. One of my favorite books by John Steinbeck. Beware the wrath of a patient man. Meaning a patient person can tolerate a lot, But of course, everybody has their limit. And so this day, this man, Pat Cogan, snapped. And he stood up, and he was bigger than the teacher. He took the stick from him, and he threw it on the ground. And my father said, immediately, this teacher, we would say he turned on his heel. He turned on his heel. Heel is talon. He immediately turned around, took his bag, and walked out of the classroom. And he was never seen again. He was never seen again. Now, these were the presentation brothers, and they had missions all over the world. So I guess they could have sent him to England, the United States, to Africa. And no one ever said anything. They got a new teacher the next day, and then that was it. I'm not sure why I began talking about that. We were talking about corporal punishment. Just talking about when we were growing up. Yes, this was it. If I was at school and if the teacher hit me because I hadn't done my homework, I hadn't done something, and I went home and my mother would say to me, "How was school?" And I would say, "Fine." Everything good? Anything happen? No, nothing. Because in those days, as I'm sure many of you would agree, if I told my mother, "Yeah, the teacher slapped me," I'd get another one. Because my mother would take the teacher's side. This is not necessarily the case anymore. Now, of course, there was teachers that were excessive, but I didn't have that at school. There was a very nice man called Mr. O'Sullivan. Very, very nice man with a beard, smoked a pipe. From the most beautiful part of County Cork, the Beara Peninsula. If you ever go to Ireland and you get time, you go on the Wild Atlantic Way, which goes all the way from County Donegal, the most northern part of Donegal in the Republic, down to very close to Cork, to Cork City. And it's spectacular. It's beautiful. But on that is the Beara Peninsula, a small peninsula with much less tourism than other parts of the southwest, and it's spectacularly beautiful. And it has a kind of connection with Madrid, because there was a man called, I'm getting off the point now again, but there was a man, a chieftain, literally a tribal leader, who took part in the Battle of Kinsale, one of the two most important battles in the whole history of Ireland. I would say, I'm not a history teacher, but this is what my teachers at school taught us. The Battle of Kinsale took place in 1601. I've mentioned it many times before. And it took place over about 3 months, from October to Christmas 1601. And the lead up, the preceding part of this battle was two men who were, they weren't the kings of Ireland, but they were the chiefs. They were the strongest leaders in Ireland. A man called Red Hugh O'Donnell, who died in the castle of Simancas and is apparently buried in Bay of the Lid. And the mayor of Bay of the Lid, a couple of years ago, spent a lot of time and money to see if they could find the remains, los restos, of Red Hugh O'Donnell. And now, unfortunately, they didn't find them. But the story goes is that he died in the castle of Simancas. But first he and a man called Red Hugh O'Donnell, and he and a man called Hugh O'Neill, who was the Earl of Tyrone. Tyrone is now in the modern day Northern Ireland. Red Hugh O'Donnell, because he was a man with red hair, whose descendants are very well known people in Madrid. And you have Kai O'Donnell, called after a descendant of his. And they came to meet Felipe III, Felipe III, to convince him. This was in about 1599, excuse me, to convince him to send troops to Ireland to fight the English. Not the British, really. It was the English. That concept of British didn't really exist yet. And unfortunately, we lost. And so that town of Kinsale celebrates this. But one of the other chieftains who took part in that battle was Donal Cam O'Sullivan Bear. Donal Cam O'Sullivan Bear. Now, on this peninsula of Bear, the Bear Peninsula, the most common surname by far is O'Sullivan. It's so common that if your name is O'Sullivan, you typically, you're known, because if you say John O'Sullivan, you say, well, there are 1,000 John O'Sullivans, you would be known as John Patrick or John Tom, because your father's name was Tom, to distinguish you from the other O'Sullivans. And this man was murdered in Madrid in 1618. These chieftains, these Gaelic aristocrats, had to leave Ireland after that battle, and he came to Madrid somehow and was murdered here, coming out of Mass on a Sunday morning in 1618. Stay with me, folks, and I'll be right back.
Para más información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833 y te ayudaremos con lo que necesites. 91-133-5833.
Este sábado, pásate por tu kiosco y pide tu ejemplar de Aprende Inglés con Disney English Vaughan, con El Mundo y Marca. Por 6,95 euros, tus hijos y tú aprenderéis inglés con vuestros personajes Disney favoritos y los mejores profesores Vaughan. Esta semana, Raya y el último dragón. Así que ya sabes, este sábado en tu kiosco, por 6,95 euros, con El Mundo y Marca. Aprende inglés con Disney English Vaughan.
¿Tus hijos reciben el inglés que necesiten en el colegio? ¿Llegarán gracias al colegio a dominar el inglés cuando sean mayores? ¿Podrán en el futuro mantener el tipo en el ámbito profesional con el inglés del colegio? Si quieres que tengan un nivel de dominio que sorprende de verdad a reclutadores y futuros jefes, invierte ahora en su formación y tráelos aquí, a nuestro Club Junior. Clases pequeñas, intensas, divertidas y con profesores que les encantarán. El inglés dejará de ser un rollo para ellos y su progreso cambiará de la noche a la mañana. ¿Por qué? Porque de repente les gustará el inglés y la clase de inglés. Un cambio total. Y es este cambio de actitud hacia mi idioma, lo que les llevará, con trabajo eso sí, pero con trabajo estimulante, a llegar a ese nivel de dominio capaz de sorprender. Club Junior de Vaughan. Llámanos al 91-133-5832 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
El MIP, o Máster en Inglés Profesional, está diseñado para los alumnos más exigentes, para aquellos cuyo futuro profesional requiere un alto nivel de inglés hablado y escrito, para aquellos que están dispuestos a ponerse en serio con el inglés con dedicación exclusiva. Se trata de un programa intensivo de 5 meses de duración que, al finalizar, el alumno habrá estado en contacto con el inglés durante más de 1000 horas, repartidas entre clases presenciales, horas de estudio y horas de inmersión en Vaughan Town. Y recuerda que tienes una prueba de nivel gratuita para determinar tu nivel de inglés oral y escrito. Llámanos ahora al 911-335833. 911-335833.
El primer día, hello, my name is, y poco más. El segundo día ya te vas soltando con los phrasal verbs. El tercer día pides la comida como un gentleman o una lady. El cuarto día das un speech con el acento de la reina de Inglaterra. El quinto día recitas Shakespeare con gracia y soltura. El sexto día ya piensas en inglés.
¿Y el séptimo día qué? ¿Descansas?
No, no. Al séptimo día ya estás de vuelta en casa con un nivel de inglés mucho mejor. Ven a Vaughan Town, un lugar en el que 6 días equivalen a 500 horas de clase de inglés. Vivirás en un entorno 100% angloparlante en el que tenemos un gran número de actividades para que desarrolles tu inglés, te sueltes y te olvides de la timidez. Vence a la vergüenza en Vaughan Town y mejora tu nivel de inglés. Llama ahora al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
Psst. Hey there. It's time for another Vaughan Radio Trivia Night. Do you know who's hosting this time? I'll give you a clue. He's the Texan who started this company.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome. I think you know me. And I know a lot of you.
Did you say Richard Vaughan? Right on. Join us February 1st at Roll Madrid, Calle de Amaniel 23, for another Vaughan Radio Trivia Night, hosted by the one and only Richard Vaughan. It's gonna be tons of fun.
let's get ready to rumble. And now we'll take a bit of music. And when I was a kid, 1980s, of course, American rock and roll, and we had a TV program every Sunday, which was called MTUSA, Music Television USA. There was an Irish guy called Vincent Hanley, and this was a pretty innovative piece of work by the Irish TV station, RTE, Radio Telefiche Éireann, Radio and Television Ireland. And so this guy had this program, and he would include pieces of American culture, and it was exclusively American and some Canadian rock and roll. And of course, as a 14, 15 year old boy, featured in that was Van Halen. All right. The lead singer was the charismatic David Lee Roth. And you had Eddie Van Halen, who I think died during the year last year. Dutch born, Dutch speaking. And one of the great rock and roll guitarists. And now we're going to have one of their great songs, Jump. So this will get you going on a Wednesday morning. Nacho, are we ready? Yep. Ah, did I send you a WhatsApp about Van Halen and Jump? Ah, perfect. So this song, there's a great video. They're playing live, I guess in an American venue. And like I said, the lead singer, David Lee Roth, who had at least one cameo role in The Sopranos, in one of the card games, in I think maybe series 4, series number 5, quite a character. And of course now these guys are in their all my musical heroes are in their 70s and 80s in the case of Bob Dylan. Are we ready, Nacho? Alright, take it away. Van Halen, Jump. of the 80s, Van Halen, ladies and gentlemen. Very commonly played at weddings in Ireland. Even now, I would say, and people go bananas when they hear that one. So, thank you, Nacho. Good stuff. Now, back to a little bit of Irish and Spanish history. So, this man, Donal Cam O'Sullivan Bear. So, Bear is, we say, the Beara Peninsula. He was the lord of that part of County Cork. No, not good farmland necessarily, but beautiful. And on the Wild Atlantic Way, it's a finger that goes out into the Atlantic Ocean. So you have spectacular landscapes. You have beautiful small villages. There was some copper mining there in the late 1800s, early 1900s, in a place called Alahees. Tiny, beautiful, beautiful village. And the copper mine is closed long ago, but the miners that were there came from Wales. And a lot of people would say that Cork has always had a close association with Wales because of geography and history. And our accent is a little bit similar to how the Welsh people speak, you know? We sing a little bit. And a lot of the Welsh, especially when they're from the valleys, quite a nice accent, actually. And so the Cork accent is we speak a bit like, almost like how the Gallegos kind of sing a little bit. I've had to soften it over the years. So this man, Donal Cam O'Sullivan Bear, like I said, he was murdered in 1618. And he was murdered by an Anglo-Irishman, meaning a person of English and Irish background, a guy called John Bath. Now, one story, nobody's very sure about this. One story is that this man had been disfigured in a duel by the prince's nephew, because this man was a prince. He was actually given princely status when he came to Spain. Felipe III gave him, reconfirmed his princely status. Now, during the break, I was checking. So, before Felipe II died, in 1598, I think these men must have gone to El Escorial. I thought they had gone to Valladolid, but I think they must have gone to see him in El Escorial. Red Hugh O'Donnell and Hugh O'Neill were requesting help to fight the English. My enemy's enemy is my friend. And then I think in the summer of 1598, Felipe II died, and then Felipe III sent a force in September, October 1601 under Don Juan de Aguila, General Don Juan de Aguila, to Ireland. And if you go to this town of Kinsale, it's a beautiful place, beautiful small town. And there's a bar there called the Spaniard, because of course this site is very famous and we're very grateful to the Spanish people for helping us to fight, even though we lost. Imagine how good my Spanish would be if we had won. But I wouldn't speak any English, so I mightn't be here. So this man, like I said, coming out of Mass Sunday morning, in 1618 in Plaza Santo Domingo, and he was murdered. I didn't know this until a few years ago. I'd never heard this story. So that's Donal Cam O'Sullivan Bear. Let's go back and do a little bit of vocabulary. All right. Where was I? Contraseña or clave, password, usuario, username, or simply user. What's the username and password? What's the username and password? Contraseña o clave, password. Independientemente de, regardless of. Independently of, but regardless of. Cicatriz, a scar. One of the great Al Pacino films. I suppose the one that really, there were two, I think you could argue, well, three, sorry. He made his name very quickly as quite a young man with three films. I mean, there was Scarface, there was Serpico, and then there was Godfather 1. Yes. So he made his name quite quickly with those three. Let me just check the year Scarface, or the year that was from, 1983. Okay, that was later. Serpico, very good film, based on corruption in 1973. All right, sorry. I'm a little bit out with my dates here. Serpico, 1973. He played, I think his name was John Serpico. I'm not sure if Serpico was a real person, but it was about severe corruption in Frank Serpico. severe corruption in the New York police force, the NYPD. And he played a character in that. Then, of course, you had The Godfather. So Serpico was 73, 1972. Okay, so 1972, The Godfather, 73, Serpico. And he, De Niro, two of the great American actors, Hopkins, of course, who was Welsh, some of the great actors of their age. Fantastic cinematic work. Repugnante o nauseabundo. Sickening. It was a sickening blow. In the sport of boxing, somebody is knocked out. He was hit a sickening blow. Mancha, stain. You have a stain in your shirt. Mandarina. Now, here now we get into some complicated work. Mandarina. Now, you have, in English, you have mandarin orange. You have satsuma. You have tangerine. And there's at least another one. All those small oranges. Now, a biologist or a food specialist would be able to tell us the difference between them. But I think mandarin, in English at least, became the general term for those small oranges. I think the first time I ate a mandarin orange, I was about 12, 11 or 12. My father, there was a great fruit market in Dublin. And my father had a work colleague who owned a stall in the fruit market. Tom Leonard was his name. And he would often just, he and my father were great friends. So sometimes he lived in Dublin and he was a real dub. And he would give crates of fruit to my father. And my father always loved markets. There's a great market in the city of Cork, the English Market, where you should go if you go to Cork. And my father would often take us there. It's still there. It's a fantastic place. And so my father would go there and he would get two crates of mandarin oranges. And we'd never eaten these. We'd only eaten normal oranges. And we ate them up. But my father, like I said to you before, was born in 1932. The war started in 1939. Ireland was neutral, but there was rationing, as I suppose there was here. Rationing, you had a ration book. You went to the shop, you got a certain number of pounds of or ounces of tea, usually bad quality tea. You got flour. White flour was very hard to find in the war. Eggs. And of course, if you were lucky and you lived in the countryside, you could grow your own food. You had chickens. Now, not that people in the cities didn't keep hens, for example. Some people did, especially in the war, to provide food. And my father's father had a shop. But my father said, so he was seven when the war broke out. And then the war finished in 1945. And I remember him telling us that the first time after the war, when he saw an orange, which was a big deal. Because I think I mentioned this last week or the week before, a huge problem that the British had, especially between 1939 and 1942, Britain always had to import a lot from the United States and had to import a lot of wheat, grain. Because wheat can be grown in Ireland, can be grown in Britain, but not with the same capacity, for example, that you have here in Spain or that the United States has. And these merchant ships were crossing the Atlantic, but the Nazi U-boats sank so many of them. So food supply became a huge problem. And this continued really, I suppose, until the Americans came into the war and began in 1942 and solved this problem. But also the Enigma code machine, which probably took the British 3 years. This famous guy, Alan Turing, you have this great film, The Imitation Game, that I saw for the second or third time recently. And he and a group of people finally broke the code, which allowed them to intercept messages so they could protect the merchant ships. So, yeah, Mandarina. I would typically say mandarin. It says here tangerine because you also have tangerine. One of the great, great Led Zeppelin songs, Tangerine. Elo. Thread. You can also use thread for a series of emails. scroll down through the thread of emails. Scroll down the thread of emails. Hilo, thread. Sonrojarse. Sonrojarse. To blush. To blush. This is a very particular thing of Irish people. We blush a lot. To blush. Gotear. Gotear. To drip. To drip. And the noun is a drop. A teardrop. A teardrop. To drip. Omitir. Omitir is a phrasal verb. As a phrasal verb, to leave out. Now don't forget, when in doubt, try the Latin translation. You could say, omit. Yes, perfectly correct. Perfectly correct. Easier to use than phrasal verbs. Easier to use than phrasal verbs. As we always say, the important thing about phrasal verbs is that you understand them. Not that you use them. Because the hard thing about a phrasal verb is you think, woof, what's the preposition? So you might say, to leave in, which is the opposite of to leave out. To leave off. To leave off. The taxi left me off at the corner of Calle Orense and Sorrento de la Cruz. So use the, when in doubt, use the Latin term. Recurrir a enchufes. Recurrir a enchufes. To pull strings. To pull strings. Which relates to the difficulty of nepotism. Now, nepotism isn't always bad once the person is of the right quality for the job. But it can also be a very, very negative thing. you could say this company thrives on a type of nepotism. That is, positive nepotism. Most of our teachers are recruited through other teachers. But they have to pass the two-week training first. So we have the guarantee of quality. But nepotism, we would typically use associates, we would associate it with, for example, somebody gets a job because of who their father is or their mother is without the required qualities. That's the danger. Resolver, phrasal verb. And you might say, but you just told me that we don't have to use phrasal verbs. Okay. But you must understand them. Huh? Resolver, to sort out. To sort out. But you could say to resolve. Ah, okay. To sort out. Very Cockney English. Let's sort it out. Out is out. You won't believe this, but ah is hat in Cockney English. Where's me at? So what? Where's me at? And it means, where's my hat? Where's me at? You talk to our good buddy Shrina, and you hear it. Where's me at? Yeah, sort it out. 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 So sometimes we have clients who say, I want a teacher with a British accent. There are about 50 of them. And one of the hardest is Cockney. Even for us. Even for us. I can have lunch with Richard Vaughan and Shrina, and I have to interpret. Shrina says, Rich, how's your daughter? How's your daughter? How's your daughter? So Richard says to me, what's she saying? And I say, she's asking how your daughter is. Ah, my daughter is fine. A bottle of water. A bottle of water. A bottle of water. Sort it out. Where's me at? Where's my hat? Where's my hat? Reflexionar sobre. Reflexionar sobre. To think over. And you can say, think it over. For example, I spoke to a lady the other day to see if she was interested in working with us. I explained the situation and I said, let's say her name was Maria. Maria, think it over. Think it over. Meaning for a few days. Think it over. That reminds me, she has to get back to me. Grúa para remolcar. So you have grúa, which can be crane. C-R-A-N-E. And then grúa para remolcar, tow truck. Or tow lorry in more traditional British English. A tow truck. And you might say tow. Yes. The same as what's on your foot. The same pronunciation. Different word. T-O-E is the one you have on your foot. T-O-W is the tow truck. And you might say, hang on a second. Wait a minute. Bow. You bow to the Queen, for example. Yeah. B-O-W. Not bow. No. But does the word bow exist? Yes, it does. A bow can be a few things. For example, you have bow and arrow. Which is, bow is the arco. Arrow is the flecha. That's B-O-W. And bow is what you do for the Queen. B-O-W. But isn't T-O-W tau? No. Toe. And what about towel? Yeah, fair enough. That's why, you know, you have too many vowel sounds, especially. You've too many vowel sounds in English for you to rely on the spelling. You listen to the sound. Listen to the sound. And a fun thing to do is you listen to a song and you read the lyrics at the same time. I learned to improve how I understand Spanish a great deal doing this. I listened to, there was a good group when I came here first that I liked called Chambao. I think from Seville, or at least around Andalusian. And I would listen, and the songs were simple. They were not complicated songs. And when I heard them first, I thought, I don't understand any words. Then I would listen to the song several times, and you begin to understand. Then I read the lyrics while listening to the song. And you find that that practice really helps you in your understanding of the language. Vaya follón. Vaya follón. What a mess. What a mess. Be careful of the pronunciation of what. Because you have the expression, what is happening? What's happening? What? What's happening? What is happening? What's happening? All right, let's finish off. We talked earlier a little bit about the importance of pronouns. Let's finish off with a bit of work on pronouns. We did this earlier in the week, but practice. Here we go. So we did it last Friday with the two orchestra conductors, Juan and Alfonso. Enséñale a ella el de ellos. Enséñale a ella el de ellos. Show her theirs. Show her theirs. Enséñanos el de ella. Enséñanos el de ella. Show us hers. Show us hers. Os enseñará el de él. Os enseñará el de él. I'll show you his. I'll show you his. Enséñales el vuestro. Enséñales el vuestro. Show them yours. Show them yours. Dámelo si es mío. Dámelo si es mío. Give it to me if it's mine. Give it to me if it's mine. Just think of my name. Fitz. If it's. Give it to me if it's mine. Te lo daré si es tuyo. Te lo daré si es tuyo. I'll give it to you if it's yours. I'll give it to you if it's yours. Dáselo a él si es suyo. Dáselo a él si es suyo. Give it to him if it's his. Give it to him if it's his. Dáselo a ella si es suyo. Dáselo a ella si es suyo. Give it to her if it's hers. Give it to her if it's hers. Dánoslo si es nuestro. Dánoslo si es nuestro. Give it to us if it's ours. Give it to us if it's ours. Os lo daré si es vuestro. Os lo daré si es vuestro. I'll give it to you if it's yours. Now, recommendation here. Perfecting pronouns. Of course, your first introduction to them, will probably have been at school where you learned them by heart in table format. All right? In table format. Now, you do have to learn them well. So you learn them like that. Then I would say you get a book like this, which is part of the Focus Pack that you can buy from Bago Entienda. Translation lists based on specific grammar points. You do the list. You go back to your tables of pronouns. And you keep moving one to the other. The slightly unreal artificial way of learning and this way of actually practicing them. All right? And you will see an improvement. Now, where can you experience this with a teacher? Our master's programs feature these translation lists. And our teachers are expert in using them. They're a big part. You will have the book yourself. You will do it as part of your homework. You learn these lists at home. You come to the class or you do the class by video, and especially in the master's programs where you don't just have classes, you have a customer support team. My good friend Richard Bradley and James and Lena and others here. So you have top teachers and you've got a top support team and you have top class material. And I guarantee you, you'll improve. I guarantee you, you'll improve. Vaughan Masters, 91-133-5833, 91-133-5833, or grupobogan.com. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Para más información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833 y te ayudaremos con lo que necesites. 91-133-5833.
Tus hijos reciben el inglés que necesiten en el colegio. Llegarán gracias al colegio a dominar el inglés cuando sean mayores. ¿Podrán en el futuro mantener el tipo en el ámbito profesional con el inglés del colegio? Si quieres que tengan un nivel de dominio que sorprende de verdad a reclutadores y futuros jefes, invierte ahora en su formación y tráelos aquí, a nuestro Club Junior. Clases pequeñas, intensas, divertidas y con profesores que les encantarán. El inglés dejará de ser un rollo para ellos y su progreso cambiará de la noche a la mañana. ¿Por qué? Porque de repente les gustará el inglés y la clase de inglés. Un cambio total. Y es este cambio de actitud hacia mi idioma, lo